Good morning, everybody. I just want to mention resources first. You should have two handouts. One is mainly quotes. One is the main notes. Then there's two handouts, one for family, please. Both are relating to Oprah Winfrey. This is part one and part two. And all those booklets, there's a whole bunch of other booklets you can look through. They're all free online, including the Oprah one. They're all free at lighthousetrails.com. They're free to read online. There's also some books there and other resources. And if you look at the resource list at the end of the main notes, I list a bunch of resources, and some of them says available for loan for free. I have them. So I'm just going to start. The New Age movement, one of the perhaps most overlooked religion in America by the church, and yet possibly the largest. Now I'm going to... let me see where I'm. Okay. I'm just going to open with saying that we're dealing with spiritual warfare, and we deal with all false teachings. So dealing with this is more than just a matter of learning information in a class. We need to be people who are filled with the Holy Spirit. And so I just encourage you to always be in prayer. The Bible talks in Jude about praying and being praying in the Holy Spirit, building ourselves up in our most holy faith, not wrestling against flesh and blood. So we need to be people who walk in the Spirit. This is warfare. I believe what we're learning about today is what culminates in the book of Revelation and was going to lead to the end of the age. So the new age or the new spirituality, the term new age is not as big as it used to be. I think new agers kind of don't like to be labeled or found out, so that now they use this term new spirituality. How many people here have met someone who goes, "I'm not religious, I'm spiritual"? Okay, well, there you go. That is the thinking. That is the philosophy of the New Age. So the new spirituality and the New Age can be used interchangeably here. So what is it? If you remember when this class, before it got canceled back in, I think it was February, there was a video that you guys, a link got sent out. It was a clip from a full video called The Invisible Denomination, the Mystical Spirituality, The Invisible Denomination. And basically... Ray Youngin, I believe, may have coined that phrase because he pretty much goes to bookstores around the world, Barnes & Noble, and looks at bookshelves and pretty much you can tell a lot of trends in the world just by looking at Barnes & Noble. And he just found the increasing numbers of the New Age section being like the biggest section. And then he says, then you go to the Jewish section and you find New Age books. You go to the Christian section. So it's not only in the New Age section, you find New Age books in the Christian section. You find New Age books in other sections. It's something which permeates everything. And so it's New Age is not so much a formal denomination, but a worldview, a philosophy, a way of thinking that not only promotes spiritual beliefs, but also agendas related to socioeconomic, environmental, educational, and political governmental issues. So there might be a lot of people who don't even consider themselves New Age, and yet if they've been watching Oprah, they're New Agers in their thinking, in what they've adopted. They might not label themselves that way. People who profess other religions might be New Agers. New Age is basically, well, we're going to get to that in a moment, but it's a combination of paganism, Hinduism, Gnosticism, and other Eastern religions, pretty much all blended into one, and then sold to the West as something Western, like with Western clothes put on it, to market it here. Because, and now things that were seen as far out and weird maybe 40 years ago are pretty much mainstream now. Yoga is a perfect example. Right? What is it? Right across the street we have a place? Everywhere you turn your head, yoga. How many people don't know somebody who does yoga? Raise your hand. You don't know? Okay, one person in the room doesn't know someone who does yoga. So there you go. Yoga is not an exercise. It's not for physical. It is, the word means yoked, and the goal of yoga is to be yoked to Brahman. And we learned about who Brahman was in the Hindu class. It's the universal consciousness. There's no such thing in as yoga for health. There's a saying in Hinduism, there's no yoga without Hinduism and no Hinduism without yoga. So just to give you an idea how this was marketed, how many people know Woodstock, what Woodstock is? How many people know who opened up Woodstock, the keynote, the person who opened it up? Does anybody know? it was a yogi. It was a guru from India. What does a guru have to do with New Age? Does anybody know what the subtitle of what Woodstock was? Woodstock was the main title. Does anybody know the subtitle of Woodstock? Come on, you ex-hippies. Woodstock, an Aquarian affair. That was the full name of Woodstock. The whole thing was New Age. Rock and roll, there's a resource I did not put on your resources, and I'm going to mention it now because I don't want to forget. Rock and Roll Sorcerers of the New Age Revolution, goodfight.org. I highly recommend that. Unbelievable documentation in that video. So, the New Age, it has to do with philosophy, values, philosophy. It's a worldview. I'm going to give some quotes here from AquarianConspiracy.com, which is a Christian site. It says, Marilyn Ferguson, author of the landmark New Age Manifesto, her book is The Aquarian Conspiracy, which is known as the New Age kind of like Bible. Personal and Social Transformation in the 1980s. That's the subtitle. Now keep that in mind. Personal and Social Transformation. Speaks of the magnitude of forces in motion in the New Age movement. This was in the 80s. Quote, broader than reform, deeper than revolution, this benign conspiracy for a new human agenda has triggered the most cultural realignment in history. The great shuddering, irrevocable shift overtaking us is not a new political, religious, philosophical system. It's a new mind, the ascending of a startling worldview. Does anybody see changes in the world lately? I mean, I'm talking about changes like you've never seen in your life. I'm talking about stuff like your grandparents haven't seen, your great-grandparents haven't seen. I'm not talking about something. I mean, raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about here. I'm not talking about something that's just a trend or a fad. Okay, and the one common denominator, there's many things that people talk about that people can say you're just one of these end time nuts, but the one thing that has not, that is different, that has never existed before, is we have a global world now. You've always had this and that and other things that could be false signs of the end, and people thinking the end is near. We have never had a global world before, and we are living in a global world where global is all you hear, everything. And so it's what affects one affects the other. I go to India and America, and every trip it's like we're more alike. Let me continue reading the quotes. I'm on the bottom of page one. Further elaborating on this divine conspiracy, Ferguson's book states, this network, the Aquarian Conspiracy, has already enlisted the minds, hearts, and resources of some of our most advanced thinkers, including Nobel laureate scientists, philosophers, statesmen. We're not talking about a bunch of dummies. We're talking about some of the most educated, highly paid people in the country. Celebrities in steadily growing numbers from every corner of American society. Going on, the network is working to create a different kind of society based on a vastly enlarged concept of human potential. Goes on to say, and shows us how the technology is for expanding and transforming personal consciousness. Once the secret of an elite are now generating massive change in every cultural institution, medicine, politics, business, education, religion, and the family. So if we're talking about other things, don't think I'm going off the topic if I start talking about environment or if I start talking about government, because it's all part of this New Age. It's a worldview, and New Age, you know, sometimes we get so caught up in New Age thinking of it as a religious thing that we forget New Age is about teachings of a New Age. We forget the obvious. It is about an age that these people are looking forward to in which everything will change. Everything will transform. I believe that's the name of one of the emerging church books. Everything must change. Medicine, politics, business, education, religion, and the family. Do we see changes in every one of these areas? Will our present turmoil lead to a worldwide breakdown of society or to breakthrough to the next step of human evolution? You know, people are still fighting the battle of physical evolution, and I'm not saying it's not an issue, but I do believe that far bigger. That was years ago. That was the big battle about evolution, and no doubt, it is still a battle, but I believe it pales in comparison to the battle over spiritual evolution. And that is what the New Age is about, that the earth is evolving into a new age. We're on the verge of a breakthrough. It says, or to a breakthrough to the next step of human evolution, the answer may depend in large measure on the influence of the Aquarian conspiracy. So it infiltrates affected areas, education, sports, television, radio. There's a lot of new age in health. People who are into health. I'm not saying all health and holistic stuff is new age, but what I am saying is it's very in there. You know, my cousin's a chiropractor. I'm not necessarily sure that chiropractic in itself is wrong, but a lot of people who are into that kind of stuff, also new age goes hand in hand with it in many cases. Not that it's not a separate thing. Almost, I don't know if there's a spa on planet Earth that doesn't have new age in it. In the area, and almost every gym, if not every gym in the country, probably has some new age or a yoga class or something in it. And so the statistics show that these are educated people, opinion makers, shapers, policy makers, and higher than average incomes, people that are into this stuff, movers and shapers. The following quote is another quote of the New Age from a very Antichrist website, religioustolerance.org, yet it's a true quote describing the New Age. It says, the New Age movement is in a class by itself, unlike most formal religions. It has no holy text, central organization, formal membership, ordained clergy, geographic center, dogma, creed, etc. They often use mutually exclusive definitions for some of their terms, and yes, not all New Ages believe in the exact same thing, but there's common denominators. The New Age is, in fact, a free-flowing, decentralized spiritual movement, a network of believers and practitioners who share somewhat similar beliefs and practices, which may add on to whichever formal religion they follow. Their book publishers take the place of central organization. So that's who the book publishers. This is spreading through media, internet, media, seminars, conventions, books, and informal groups replace sermons and religious services. And the biggest one, the Queen of New Age, who knows who the Queen of New Age is? The biggest promoter, probably through whom New Age is spread more than any other individual, is Oprah Winfrey. Undoubtedly, her influence is incredible. Whoever goes on that show, that's it. The next day, the books are on the New York Times bestseller list. One may maintain a more... We did classes on Hinduism, we did classes on Judaism, we did classes on Catholicism, we did class on Mormonism, on Islam. What do they all have in common? There can be people from every one of those groups that are New Agers. Dr. Oz is a Muslim who is a New Ager. Glenn Beck is a Mormon who is a flat-out New Ager. You have Catholics who are New Agers. You see, so this is why it's like called the invisible denomination. You can have a room with three Catholics, three Jewish people, and three Muslims, and yet have nine New Agers in the room. You understand? That's what New Age is. It's a philosophy and a way of thinking which infiltrates people. So someone might say they're Catholic and be very New Age. And this is very important to understand. Me and John Angelbeck went to witness one of the local rabbis, I believe here in Wayne, and this guy didn't even know, this is a conservative rabbi now, I'm not talking about reform or the other one, Reconstructionist, and this rabbi didn't even know if he believed in a literal God, or if God was personal, and when you talk to him, he was completely out there into the New Age. I've gone into Orthodox bookstore in Brooklyn, Eichler's, and you see the Third Eye, the Pyramid. Come on, this is everywhere. This is important to understand. So, some of the hard beliefs, like with Hinduism, monism, all is one. They believe that really there are no separations. Ultimately, everything is all the same. Everything is one. And also pantheism or panentheism, but let's just say pantheism now, all is God. So if all is one, everything is unified, really the same, the differences are just an illusion. That comes from Hinduism, which we learned in the Hinduism class. And all is God, then guess what? You're God. And where does that lie come from? It all goes back to Genesis. So New Ages can either be pantheistic or panentheistic. The difference is One just says God is in everything, but God is not in everything. You must be born again. We're not all God's children. God does not live in everybody. The fall separated God from man, but either New Age teaches that you are God or God is in you. Universally, in everyone, regardless. And sin is not taken into account. And so it basically teaches that all is one and all is God. And if you look at New Agers, they will often capitalize words like earth, creation, universe. If you read their literature, you'll see a capital U for universe, a capital C for creation. This is everyone. My cousin who I grew up with. I'm at a party with her when a family function, and she's like, "Oh yeah, thank the universe for that." And I'm like, I looked at her, and I'm like, and she just starts laughing. But I'm like, I can't believe this. She's thanking the universe. It deifies creation. This is Romans chapter 1, where they worship the creation rather than the creator. So basically, New Age goes perfectly in line with postmodernism, which is basically there's no absolute truth, because really, ultimately, all the distinctions are an illusion. It's all one. A lot of this stuff we covered in the Hindu class, a lot of that same stuff applies to the new spirituality. So pluralism, postmodernism, inclusivism, this whole idea, the whole homosexual agenda, is very much in line with the New Age, because we need a New Age where we're going to go to a higher consciousness, where we don't make these distinctions between male and female, homosexual and straight, and all these other things. It all fits right in. And shamanism, this is basically shamanism. A shaman is basically someone in pagan religion that would go into an altered state of consciousness to channel spirits. And mysticism, which is getting direct revelation through experience and saying that God spoke to you. But experience is an unreliable source, and this is a major point of the New Age. We have a source of authority that is sure. It's God's word, because God spoke. We know truth because God revealed himself to us. There are other spirits out there, and we don't deny that. So we don't necessarily have to deny the experiences of New Agers. The question is, as I was reading this hypothetical conversation with someone, where the New Ager says, "Yeah, but I know this is the truth because so-and-so spirit spoke to me, or spirit guide spoke to me," the Christian response is, "I don't deny that, but the question is, who spoke to you? Who was it? Was it really God? How do you know? Because there are lying spirits," and there's a lot of scriptures that I give later in the notes. So Ray Youngin calls it a mystical, occult-driven New Age movement. It says he's radically changed the spiritual landscape of the Western world. And that has happened. It's a done deal. There's no doubt about it. And I don't believe this is a passing fad. I don't believe this is like holy laughter or like some of these other strange phenomena that we have. I believe that with the new, and all I can say is it is consistent with everything Scripture speaks about end times. This is why eschatology is important. I don't believe the New Age is a fad or a passing thing. I believe that this is what's going to lead us straight to the end until Christ comes back, leading up to the Antichrist coming. And you'll see hopefully more of that as we get through this, very limited in time. So please speak to me personally and privately after class or other times, because there's a lot more. And read, I want to say this, make sure you read, please read through the notes and especially the quotes page, which just gives you, you know, firsthand quotes from these people and what they're doing. People want to mock at conspiracy theories, and yes, there is a lot of, some of it should be mocked, because there's a lot of people who do have kooky ideas, and there are a lot of people who have undocumented ideas. So I don't want to say that everything people call conspiracy is a conspiracy, but there's just too much of this stuff that's documented. When something is documented, it's like saying, "Man, well, you know, the homosexual agenda, you know, I think that there's gay people that are trying to advance their cause. Oh, you're into conspiracy theories." Well, you would laugh at that person because it's a reality. Well, it's the same thing with the New Age and what they're proposing. There's thousands of these websites and groups and people all over the country. Hopefully we'll get more into that in the notes. Another quote from Youngin, who wrote one of the books in the resource section: "Society is being conditioned to embrace a false spirituality that rejects the God of the Bible and the gospel of salvation through Christ." See, non-mystics operate through the realm of consciousness, of rationality. But mystics, New Age, they work in the realm of experience, feelings and experience. So it's very hard to reason with them sometimes, because a lot of this is experience based. And just like Mormons who have the burning in the bosom, New Agers have had experiences. There's a lot of and just to back this up with scripture, the woman who had the demon cast out of her in Acts 16, I think it was that Philippi or was that Ephesus? I think it was Philippi in Acts 16. When Paul cast the demon out, it says, when the owner saw that, they lost their hope of profit. There was a real spirit who really worked in that woman. And when that spirit was cast out, there was difference. There was a real manifestation of a spirit. In Leviticus 19, the Bible condemns those. It says, put to death those who have familiar spirits. So Scripture acknowledges this. And Scripture in Deuteronomy 13 acknowledges the reality of if a prophet does a sign or a wonder, and it comes true. Not talking about a false prophet, and like in Deuteronomy 18, where something was prophesied and it didn't happen, but we're talking about something which happened, but then their doctrine is wrong. God says, stone them to death. So Scripture seems to acknowledge that something supernatural can really happen. And Jesus said, great signs and wonders will be done in the last days, that even the elect would be deceived if it were possible. So Scripture is clear that the reality of a miracle means nothing in terms of it being true. Now, meditation is huge, and this, let me tell you, the New Age movement has taken the professing church, and I'm talking about conservative churches, by storm. And if I mention the name of a group, it doesn't mean that everyone in that group is bad. But I'm just trying to give an idea of the influence of this. So if I, you know, but we're talking about the Southern Baptist Convention, who have conservative, godly, good teachers who I respect. I shared with the pastors an article quoting from Al Mohler. It was a great quote by Mohler. So I'm not saying everyone in the Southern Baptist Convention is wrong, but I am saying the infiltration is there. Gospel Coalition, who has great teaching, also has meditation in its midst. And again, I'm not talking about every individual in Gospel Coalition. I'm not saying that there's not praiseworthy things in Gospel Coalition, that it's not edifying material. I'm just simply trying to make the point of the level of infiltration that this has had. And what I forgot to say that I wanted to say at the beginning of the class is something I say every time that I go on the mission field. I say, if I say anything that's not true, pick me up and throw me out. But please, before you criticize me, give me a chance to back up what I'm saying. Just don't, this is not about anything personal. This is about something serious and factual, and there's facts. I don't have time to back up everything here, but a lot of it is backed up in the notes. And all I'm just trying to make the point is this thing has spread into Judaism, into Mormonism, into Islam, by the way, who's the guy? Wretched Radio. Yeah, Todd Friel. Look up his thing on Glenn Beck. He did a great thing on Glenn Beck in showing the New Age ideology of Glenn Beck. It was really great. By the way, a resource that I did not mention, because Todd Friel mentions him on his video, he gave thanks to Brandon House. Brandon House is from worldviewweekend.com. You can write that down in your list of resources as a website. Very good resource. They advertise a little bit more than I'm comfortable with, but great stuff. Okay, so now, contemplative prayer is huge. The idea of the mantra, the word mantra is from Sanskrit word, two words in Sanskrit, which means free from thought. Eastern meditation is used to, now we think of meditation as getting into deep thought, but it's the exact opposite. It's supposed to stop your thought process. It's the idea that when you say a word long enough and you just meditate, your brain shuts down. I think they've done studies on this. You go into like an alpha state or something, and it's the idea of like your thoughts become like become backed up, and it becomes like this pool of water. And they talk about the silence, and there's many different methods for contemplative prayer. Breath, you know, the idea of the breath. You know, how many people here have done martial arts? Well, the martial arts, as you know, breathing is a very big part of it. Why? Because the idea in New Age is that there's this universal consciousness. I remember this cheap sci-fi picture I saw, you know, maybe about 30 years ago called Life Force, you know. There's a million movies like this about this force that you tap into.
And so what the person in martial arts is doing by breathing is or vibrations. I remember a Judas Priest song I sang about, and if we could keep and hold on to the note, we would see our minds are free. It was all about this getting in tune with this universal vibration. And what a martial arts person is doing by breathing is you're trying to make your breath sync with that universal force to tap into that energy. You ever see somebody crack a brick and not touch it? I mean, you've seen this. Have you ever seen something like that? Without touching it, you'll see, what is that? You know, what kind of power, what kind of force or power is that? So again, this is the whole thing of the Tai Chi is completely new age. The whole idea of this, the Chi is just the name of the force. It's called different things, the Chi or the Ki. There's in medicine, therapeutic touch, where nurses are doing this stuff in hospitals. We said before how it infiltrates medicine, health, school, education, and teaching this to small kids in school. There are nurses doing this therapeutic touch stuff, which is kind of like a Shakti pod from Hinduism, where you transfer this power and it's supposed to be healing. One of the books on display there, if anyone wants to borrow it, is New Age Medicine. If you want to know about that, how many people heard of Reiki? New Age. How many people heard of iridology, where you look in someone's eye and you can supposedly tell their diseases from looking in their eyes? There's a lot of these practices out there. So the whole idea is when you back up, basically your mind blanks out, and then a spirit guide comes to you, which is and it's really your higher self, which is you. Your Godhead that you don't know who you are, you just don't, you're God, but you don't know it. And so that's the purpose of meditation, is basically to realize your Godhood. And so this is the false God of the New Age, as Ray Youngman teaches. The false God of the New Age is you. It's your higher self. It's called your higher self. It's called the higher consciousness. It's called the super consciousness. It's called, you know, when you talk about self-realization, self-actualization, all different terms for the same basic experience. Again, Leviticus 19 and other scriptures there talk about familiar spirits. It's acknowledged by scripture. I just want to show you the scripture tying in here. You know, I remember once I met a guy at a wedding. I was a new Christian and I was on fire, and I talked to this guy and I mentioned Jesus. And he goes, oh, I'm like, yeah, well, Jesus really changed me. He goes, oh yeah, me too. And I'm like, and I'm psyched. You know what? Like when you're new, and I'm like, yes, I'm like another Christian. He's like, yeah. He goes, I met Jesus and Buddha and Krishna, you know, and Muhammad. And then he went on, and I didn't know what New Age was back then. I just knew that what he was saying was not kosher. But Jesus is just thrown in with the rest. He's just another one of these avatars who basically achieve self-realization. The Jesus of the New Age, the New Agers love to talk about Jesus. There's a big Gnostic influence, and if anyone knows anything about Gnosticism, it's one of the first big enemies of the church from like late 1st, early 2nd century. And basically, they claimed to believe in Jesus, but it was a different Jesus of the scriptures, and Gnosticism, all about knowledge. It all has to do with that lie in the garden about your eyes will be open, Satan promising knowledge beyond the word of God, and this promise for knowledge outside of God's word, outside of God's revelation of himself. And that's basically what it. Now, here's some stats. Reiki, according to things I've read, maybe 1 million in the U.S. nurses. And all Reiki, by the way, witchcraft, yoga, and Reiki are all based on the chakra system. The idea that there are these seven chakras in your spine. At the base of your spine is this force, and as you meditate, you lift up the force, and when you reach the seventh chakra, that's when you realize you're God. That's when you achieve self-actualization. But the interesting thing is there is a direct tie between paganism, between witchcraft. This is, the chakra system is recognized in witchcraft, is recognized in yoga, and it's recognized in Reiki. There's many similarities with teachings of the Church of Satan with the New Age, which won't surprise us after we get to some quotes. Okay, so let me just continue. Earth Day. How many people know what Earth Day is? It's coming up April 22nd. That's how many days from now? A couple of weeks. There's been about 20 million Americans, I think, that was at the first Earth Day alone in 1970. It's all about climate change. It's all about environmentalism. This is Earth worship. This is not so much just about saving the Earth. This is Gaia was the ancient goddess of the Earth, and she came up. And this is you can see a lot of this stuff. I don't have time. I'll mention it. Challenge me if you think I'm not telling you the truth, or if you think I'm fabricating, or if you think I'm dramatizing. Please speak to me. And because I would love the opportunity to show you, and you know, just make sure you have a lot of time, because I have a lot to show you to back up what I'm saying.
Again, they capitalize words like nature, cosmos, and again, they're expecting a new age. The idea of the age of Aquarius or the new age, is the age of Aquarius is the new age. It's the idea that now we're in the Piscean age. Jesus was he was from the Piscean age, but now we're going to enter the next level, the age of Aquarius. And that's when the whole earth is going to, and it's not just us, the earth itself is going to enter. They see the earth as a living creature, as a living being, as they deify the earth. And so they talk about this mass shifting consciousness. There's differences in how they believe. Some think it's going to happen like in one moment, like the way we believe in the rapture, in the twinkling of an eye. Some think it's going to be a gradual process, but more and more now it's this idea that if enough people reach higher consciousness as individuals, then suddenly there's going to be this earthly shift where the whole earth is going to enter this thing. And unity. Now this new age affects, it's about one world. It's really what it's about. And I've got some quotes for you if I can get to it. But we all know the coexist symbol, which is all about existing together, and symbols from about 5 or 6 or 7 different religions, right there on page 4 of your notes. So the new age encompasses, like the quote we read, government. It encompasses religion, unity of religion, the ecumenical movement, and it encompasses economics. So the climate change thing has a lot to do with this combining earth worship, but it's a lot about economics, because the agenda really behind the climate change and environmentalism, and the big word now, everybody, sustainable development. How many people have not heard of that word? Let me ask who hasn't heard of that word, sustainable development. That's the big word out there today. And it's all a bunch of nonsense for the redistribution of wealth, which Francis Schaeffer wrote about this stuff. And Francis Schaeffer was like a prophet, if you read this guy's writings, predicting a lot of what's happening right now. But it's all about this unity of religion, unity of economics, redistribution of wealth. And again, I'm not here talking about a form of government. I'm simply trying to tell you what their agenda is. And it just so happens that their agenda is very consistent with the scripture paints of being at the end. I'm not naming dates or anything like that. I'm just simply saying that there's too much, and I can't adequately paint the picture as clearly as I'd like to with limited time. But I'm just trying to tell you, please challenge me. If you have doubts about what I'm saying, I'm begging you, challenge me. Try to prove me wrong. I'm not saying that in a bad way as a challenge. I'm just trying to say, give me the opportunity to show what I'm saying. Understanding these things might give us a better understanding and appreciation for the importance of eschatology, which is kind of put on the back burner as if it doesn't matter. Eschatology matters. What the scriptures, eschatology is what the Bible says about the end times. Let me tell you, folks, it matters. Jesus had a lot to say about the end times. Paul had a lot to say about the end times. Peter spoke about the end times. John spoke about the end times. Almost every apostolic writer spoke about the end times significantly. John mentions the Antichrist. Jesus mentioned the Antichrist. I know Paul spoke of the Antichrist. So this is not just a side issue in the scripture, folks. And I agree and I acknowledge that there have been people who have used these topics and they've run wild with it. I'm not a fan of Tim LaHaye and the Left Behind series. I'm not even a pre-tribber, believe it or not. However, don't let the fact, just like people would mock Christianity because of, they say, oh yeah, what about all those scandals and what about this, all your Christianity's nonsense. Well, we know that that's a logical fallacy, right? To throw away Christianity because it is false Christians. Well, the same thing with eschatology. But I'm just trying to say it's a very important subject. 1 Thessalonians 5:3, Scripture says, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes. Scripture seems to indicate that in the end, the world is going to be saying peace and safety. This is the perfect scripture to help demonstrate exactly what the New Age movement is saying is going to happen. There will be one world. There will be peace. There will be safety. Now, energy is another big part of it. We spoke about that a little bit, this universal energy, this force. Let's go on to page 5. There's some statistics at the top of page 5 just to tell you about how many millions, tens of millions, just from what we've read recently, are into this. One study said 40 million Americans are tied into New Age spirituality.
Reportedly, $5.7 billion was spent on yoga-related activity and products in America in 2008. $10.3 billion in 2012. That's almost double from 2008 to 2012. Just giving you a little bit of the stats, just to give you an idea of the trend and the exponential growth of this thing. And there's more stats. You might want to read them. And by the way, it was Swami Satchikananda who's the one who kicked off Woodstock, the opening speaker. I think the lid came off of hell in the 1960s, folks. But anyhow, Satan's been alive and well since the beginning. The world has been wicked since the beginning. Again, but the Bible does say in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 about the restrainer being removed. So it's not. This is not saying man is more depraved now than he was then. Man has always been depraved. And we see what happened in the days of Noah, right? God had to flood the whole earth. So, but God, in his sovereignty, restrained it. It's only a miracle that we're not killing each other in the streets. Well, you read about one of those four horsemen and it says peace was taken from the earth, and then we'll get into killing one another. So all I'm saying is this, there's going to be this thing in the end where the restrainer is going to be taken out of the way. By God's sovereignty, God's on the throne. This doesn't glorify Satan or the enemy. God's in control of all this. His word predicted it. But again, this is not a passing fad, folks. So again, scripture, Genesis 3, the lie, Satan wanted to be God, wanted us to be God. The mystery of lawlessness spoken of by Jesus, 2 Thessalonians, Babylon. What was Genesis 11 about? Think of this, folks. The whole world being together in a rebellious way, in an anti-God way, wanting to have unity. You know what? When you read the Bible, God's really not into this unity thing, except if it be in Christ. God is really, if you read throughout the scripture, God is not into this human unity thing, except if it's based on Him. Babel was there in Genesis 11, this story, very significant story in human history, and yet we have two entire chapters dedicated to Babel, Revelation 17 and 18. By the way, there's no difference between Babel and Babylon. I don't know why the translators did it. It's the exact same word. It's Babel, Babylon. But two entire chapters, right at the end of Scripture 17 and 18, dedicated to Babylon, right before chapter 19, which talks about the return of Christ. This is a major theme in Scripture. And unfortunately, certain... certain theologies have kind of downplayed the importance of eschatology. But anyhow, Isaiah 47, we read about Babylon and how Babylon says, I sit and I'm a queen and I am and there is no other speaking as God. And again, we see a lot of this stuff. Apostasy, the man of sin being revealed, tying it all into what I'm saying in 2 Thessalonians. Okay, let's see. Timothy warned about what was false cloud. Now, basically, there's some history. We already talked about that. The real history is Satan in the garden. That's really the history. But in modern times, and the real roots is this ancient paganism, Hinduism, Gnosticism. But in the 1800s, was a woman, Helena Blavatsky. After her, Alice Bailey, then Marilyn Ferguson. And then basically Oprah, and A Course in Miracles, and to the whole world, where it's like this universal thing now. See, that's the thing. It's a universal thing. Here's a quote by Helena Blavatsky, who really is one of the co-founders of the Theosophical Society from the 1800s, who had a spirit guide, Kuthumi, speaking to her. A lot of these people had spirit guides, so did Alice Bailey. Here's a quote. It is but natural, and it goes on, to view Satan, the serpent of Genesis, as the real creator, the benefactor, the father of spiritual mankind. For it is he who was the harbinger of light, bright, radiant Lucifer, who opened the eyes of the autonomon created by Jehovah. So Satan was doing a good thing what he did in the garden there. They're praising Satan for what he did. Alice Bailey, pretty much founded Lucis Trust, and published the Lucifer Publishing Company, which later was changed to the Lucis Publishing Company, which, by the way, prints for none other than the United Nations. We talked about on the economic level, the governmental level, the United Nations. The United Nations is pushing in 2030 this huge climate change thing. So, anyhow, how much time do I have? Oy vey. I didn't even get to it. But basically, I can't believe. I don't even feel like I touched anything, but... I'm just going to skip everything, read the quotes, because But just how do you witness to these people? There's a, I'm just going to give you some, there's a really good hypothetical conversation on one of the websites, it's in your notes, with John Newager and, John Christian and David Newager. But I'm just going to give you some possible objections. They might say all path leads to God. Okay? So, and again, I'm going to be drawing a lot of stuff from the other classes. Nate taught about logical inconsistencies. So show the logical inconsistency of this position. For example, the logical inconsistency between Jesus' words of John 14:6 that he's the only way, and Islam's teaching they're teaching that there's many ways. Or the inconsistency between Jesus saying I'm the only way and Islam saying, Christianity saying Jesus is God's son and you must believe that to be saved, and Allah saying that there is no son. And just show that this is not logically possible to have many ways. And if they disagree with you, and then they say, well, you know, there are many ways. You're wrong about saying there's many ways. Then actually you don't have to argue about there being many ways. They've just proved your point because they've just said you're wrong. So if they say you're wrong about saying Jesus is the only way, they're actually proving your point that there can't be many ways. If they say you're right, then you win. It's a win-win situation. New Age, another argument. I know I have the truth. I experienced it. I speak to God and he's spoken to me. And just say, I don't necessarily doubt you've spoken to, but how do you know who you heard from? And then show them, and read the notes on this on the bottom of page 9. Show them what Scripture says about deceiving spirits, lying spirits. It's also, there's a section that begins on page 7, it's on 7 and 8. A section that says general truths regarding witnesses to those influenced by the New Age spirituality. And I talk about, there's a whole section where I give you how unreliable experiences and a lot of scriptures pertaining to deception. Micaiah and what was it? 1 Kings 22 maybe, where God was going to destroy Ahab and one of the spirits said, I'll be a lying spirit in the mouth of this prophet. So we know that there's lying spirits and God sovereignly used that to bring judgment on him. So you can show this to your New Age, your friend, to demonstrate that we don't deny it. We believe in the spirits world just like you do. Bible teaches the reality of the spirit world. We believe that. We're on the same page with that. But how do you know who you're hearing from? You can only know for certain if God reveals it to you. And then you can tell them about reliability of the Bible, which was spoken of. That's your truth and not mine. That's basically relativity. And again, you can show them the inconsistency of that way of thinking. Another argument now, and this is a new thing with the New Age, they're now trying to actually say that science proves New Age. They're actually, believe it or not, saying that quantum physics proves the New Age, that it's true, and it proves pantheism, they're saying. And it's this idea of these holons. They have this idea of these things called holons, and that basically they're these, the smallest particle you could break things down to contains everything in the universe. And they use quantum physics because there's a teaching in quantum physics that you can't really know. Once you know, you can't know the location of an electron, and it's, what is it? You can't know its location, and it's, is it its mass at the same time? But somehow they tie this in, and they try to say that quantum physics proves pantheism. Well, the simple answer to this is show me the science, because it doesn't. As a matter of fact, the atheists are all over this one, even. You have some atheists, believe it or not, are New Agers. Even though that's an inconsistency. But there are atheists who refute this. There are Christian scientists, I believe, who refute this. But put the burden of proof on them. And again, they say that our problem is that we don't really realize who we are. What if that's what they say? You know, our problem is this is an illusion. You just don't know who you are, you know. We're a higher consciousness. It's all an illusion. And you can respond by saying, if this is all an illusion, then why do we get upset when someone dies? You know, go to the real heart cutter. Death. Have you ever lost a loved one? Does the fact that that's an illusion comfort you when you lose a loved one? If your father and your mother dies, you're going to find comfort in the fact that it's not real. You see, sometimes you have to reach these people on the emotional level because they're so emotional, experiential in their thinking. And then maybe you can use that to bridge the gap into the talk of the fact that we have hope. We have a sure hope because Jesus Christ rose from the dead and share the gospel with them. And you can contrast their impersonal God with a personal relationship, appeal to the human need of a personal relationship. with God and the emptiness we have and that longing.
So, folks, there's just so much more, but I'm going to end it here. There's a whole list. Please read through the notes. There's just so much I didn't get to, and I thought I was skimming it.